Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Yes, sir. 5 o'clock fire here on The Drive. Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott filling in for the guys today. Clint will be back tomorrow at B. Scott for the next couple days this week. At least that's certainly the plan, but good to be here in the meantime filling in for them. Appreciate you hanging with us. Hopefully getting off from work for the day here on this Tuesday with an easy commute home. You can always text the show 713-572-4610. Are the Astros already making adjustments? We'll get to that in a moment. They begin a series tonight with the Pirates in Pittsburgh, one of the best ballparks in the league, even though no one goes there. Lance McCullers on the mound tonight against Paul Skeens. Skeens losing record despite his 2.15 ERA. I think McCullers has pitched better than the numbers. It was just that one terrible outing against the Reds, but he's 0-1, ERA of 5.89. Who are you looking forward to watching more tonight, Lance McCullers or Paul Skeens?
Yeah, it's Lance McCullers for me because I'm an Astros fan. I'm a Houston guy. And look, I'm a general and overall baseball fan. So if you give me Paul Skeens against anybody else but the team that I root for, but the team that I follow, then the answer is going to be Paul Skeens. And probably even if it was anybody else in this rotation, like Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown, I feel like I'm good on. Like, I understand what I'm going to get from them, or I know what I should expect from them. I feel good about them. On the other side of that, if it's a Ryan Gusto, Colton Gordon type, you know, I get it. Like, I don't expect a whole lot. So, locked in on Paul Skeens. But right there in the middle of those four guys that I mentioned on the Astro side is Lance McCullers. Like, firmly planted, you know, uniquely positioned as a guy who I kind of sort of believe in, but also have some apprehension about because of the history and how long it had been since he pitched up until recently. So it's Lance McCullers for me, but Paul Skeens, I am, like, from an Astro standpoint, very interested to see what this very decidedly mediocre Astros offense is able to accomplish against a decidedly excellent pitcher in Paul Skeens. So Lance McCullers is the answer, but Paul Skeens is a very, very close second.
Yeah, I've seen the run total for the Astros as low as 2.5 tonight against Skeens and the Pirates, so we'll see how that goes. This is the one unfortunate thing that, like, when you look at this Astros schedule, this is a bit of an easier stretch in the schedule, You get to play Pittsburgh, who's not good, even though it's on the road. But it's like, man, of this three-game series, we get Skeens. Why couldn't we get the other guys? Right? Like, it's a bit of an ease. Should be an easier series to take on the Pirates. But then you have to face one of the best pitchers in baseball tonight.
Yeah, I get that. I'm definitely with you, especially as, you know, somebody that's rooting for the team. But at the same time, I do like, I mean, ideally, from a competitive standpoint, you'd rather it be Hunter Brown up there, right? So, yeah. Like, if we got to go up against Skeens, then damn it, they got to go up against Hunter Brown or Framber Valdez. Right. But the Lance McCullers thing does just make it, you know, from a radio media standpoint, right, does to me just make it way more fascinating, way more interesting, mm-hmm. really any Lance McCullers start. But when you get to juxtapose it to Paul Skeens, like, that's the – here's the standard for what pitching excellence is right now in Major League Baseball, and you're watching Lance McCullers not necessarily try to live up to that, but how does it measure up? That's a pretty cool thing from an observation standpoint.
You're right. I'm sounding like Giannis. If we're going to play the Pirates,
we'll run from the grind,
that's
dog.
That's right. We got to beat Paul Skeens in his building. Let's see if that's the case tonight. First pitch coming up in just over a half hour. We'll get to Tyler's best bets a little bit earlier, coming up in just a little bit, so you can get ready for all the games tonight. The Astros, by the way, while we're still on the Astros, before we move on to the next topic, injury updates from the Houston Astros. Another day and another update, another story here for the Astros. Ronel Blanco scheduled to undergo Tommy John surgery on Friday. He was originally placed on the IL back on May 22nd. So that would put it at, about June, whatever that is, 7th. It's usually about maybe a year. So yep. He'll miss maybe the first third of next season.
And then he's an Astro. So
I was just going to say. I mean, it's a good point.
Who knows?
Who knows? All right, so we'll see him in 2028. And then the other news is Zach DiCenzo's left hand revealed that he has a left-hand capsule sprain. Don't know what that is, to be honest with you. He has been prescribed rest. But
these nuts.
here's the noteworthy part of the statement they put out. He is scheduled to undergo re-imaging in 2 weeks. Do you think this is some sort of subtle adjustment already made by the Astros based off of everything that's been going on?
Yes.
That sounds new.
Very clearly. Like, is the first thing that... Well, first of all, I just want to ask, do you need a medical degree to prescribe rest?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, I have no medical expertise, but I feel like I can prescribe all of y'all rest.
Yeah.
Like, are you okay, Luke? No? You know what you should do? You should go get you some rest.
That's true.
We can all say more rest and drink you some more water.
That, I mean, that's just my expert medical opinion. I don't know about the rest of you guys. But aside from that, on the injury update, I mean, God, like that... What a clear response to, oh, y'all don't think we're transparent enough, eh? Oh, y'all think we made a mistake with this imaging thing with Yordan Alvarez after we made the mistake with the imaging thing with Kyle Tucker last year, eh? All right, well, we'll show you guys. We're going to give you medical terms that unless you have a medical background or, like, understand anatomy a little bit better than the average person, you ain't going to know what the hell we're talking about anyway.
Bistros ain't loyal.
And, oh, by the way, we're going to make sure that you know that there's going to be re-imaging done past this initial diagnosis. So how you like them apples? How y'all love that, Astros media and fans?
What a throw. Right.
Finally giving you what you've been asking for. I pick up what they're putting down.
Yeah, making a subtle change already.
I don't hate it, by the way.
No, I like it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
They should have re-imaged Yordan after 2 weeks, too. Might have found something different.
Maybe I learned a lesson.
Yordan.
By the way, on the topic of rest, my grandmother had twins way back when, and my grandfather was a bit anxious about it, and the doctor told him, you seem to have anxiety, I prescribe you rest.
Yes.
So they brought newborns home, twins, and my grandfather's like, yeah, doctor told me, I got to be bedridden. Sorry, lady.
Hey, I love how a dad gets to be prescribed something. It's like, you know, and this is no disrespect to your grandfather, but like, and he knows this as a father. We get the easy way out,
yeah,
man.
Right.
Exactly. Like, if all we need is rest, yeah, we can go ahead and try to squeeze that in at some point. But man, it's mama that's going through it, dog.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Crease, 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 cracking back.
5 o'clock fire.
The big news out of the NBA today, the Knicks fired their head coach, Tom Thibodeau, after 5 seasons. Look, I knew this was going to be a possibility because it's the NBA, but you look back at the fact that they just had their most successful run in 30 years. They've had winning seasons for the last 5 years. He just brought them to their first conference finals in 25 years. again, it's the NBA. I knew as that series was unfolding, he's on the hot seat. But we've seen coaches of the year get fired multiple times in the NBA. Now Thibodeau as well. Just first blush, your first reaction. You heard the news today, Thibodeau fired by the Knicks. What'd you think?
I'm not the biggest Tom Thibodeau guy, like the biggest Tom Thibodeau fan, and I think a lot of the criticisms that are levied his way are valid. But I do think overall in the NBA, this is kind of a generic statement, but I think it applies, there is a lack of appreciation for good coaches.
Yeah.
For, let's just call them above average coaches. Like, they just kind of throw them away as if they grow on trees, and it's an odd thing to me. Now, it worked out for, like, in the case of, let's say, Cleveland and Detroit, right? Like, they get rid of Bickerstaff. He immediately gets a job with Detroit, and they do very well. But the guy that Cleveland hires in Snyder wins the Coach of the Year. So it's like, okay, that the coaching carousel or coaching musical chairs, if you will, that they did worked out. But it is some don't try this ish at home type of thing to me. Like, if you got a good coach, go ahead and keep them and don't take them for granted. It kind of baffles me, the lack of appreciation and overall respect that they have in this league for good coaches, that they're willing to just kind of car wash them the way they are. It's a weird thing to me.
Yeah, it sure is. And specifically with the Knicks, like, don't forget, kind of like I said earlier about the Texans before D'Amico, for the Knicks, you were lousy for two decades before Tom Thibodeau. And then you went through Mike Woodson for 2 years, Derek Fisher for 2 years, Jeff Hornacek for 2 years, David Fizdale for 2 years. You finally had some stability in Tom Thibodeau. You're finally consistently winning for the first time in decades. And you fired him because you came up two wins short for making the NBA Finals. I just don't get it. But it's the way of the NBA.
Yeah. It's tough.
It is.
It's tough living.
It is. Fortunately, they get paid a lot of money, but otherwise, tough business.
Holy smokes!
5 o'clock fire.
Big news with the Houston Texans continues to be the fact that C.J. Stroud is still not throwing. Today was the last day of OTAs. B. Scott was out there today asking the questions. No Stroud. We've been talking about it all afternoon. But what I found most interesting about all this was D'Amico Ryans was asked about it. And it wasn't so much what he said, but it was more so what he was trying to avoid saying or what he didn't want to answer. Here was D'Amico Ryans. If you didn't already hear it today, here was the head coach when asked about his quarterback.
First off, I know everybody's going to ask. First, CJ not throwing again. There's no concerns with CJ. It's just general soreness. We're taking extra precaution with him, but he'll be good to go. No concerns on my end there. Really excited the way our guys are working and competing out at practice. When you see a good team, what excites me is you're seeing both sides make plays. Offense, defense, there's a lot of back and forth, guys making plays. So really excited to see where our team are here in our second week of practicing. They're really growing, developing, taking the steps we need to take, and it's fun to watch. For CJ, it'll be, like I said, he has general soreness, and we're just taking extra precaution with him. When he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
Do you have any work on his shoulder in the offseason?
That's it for CJ, guys. On the questions, that's it. That's it for him. Like, it's general soreness, and we're taking extra precaution with him. We're not going to rush him into anything. He'll be fine. When the moment is for him to be ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
D'Amico Ryans earlier today talking about CJ Stroud. Everything he said sounded great. Not concerned. When we need him, he'll be ready to go. So maybe it's just a short-term thing here, not any sort of long-term thing to worry about. No concern, not worried, just general soreness, yada, yada, yada.
Whew.
But what stands out, the troubling part, is when asked specifically about anything done with that shoulder this offseason, he gave the old runaround. Couldn't give an answer, where you could simply just say no. Now, you were there today, Brandon. What'd you think of D'Amico Ryans' press conference in regards to CJ Stroud?
D'Amico Ryans has been successful enough in both football and life to not need my advice, and so I'm just going to give it, despite the fact that he doesn't need it. If I were advising him, I would advise him to say, like, if the answer is no, please just say that.
Yeah.
Like, just say no. Now, if the answer is yes, I'm a little bit more sensitive to that because I understand why you might not want to volunteer that information or offer that information. Maybe ever, or certainly not at this point in the offseason. So I get it, which makes it a little bit more interesting, because if the answer is no, you figure maybe what's the harm in saying no?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, again, we see what the harm is in saying yes, or at least what the reluctance would be in saying yes. I'd like to think, and this is maybe just kind of me being a little bit overly optimistic about it, is just that DeMeco Ryans went up there with the anticipation or with the expectation that he would be able to say what he needed to say, maybe get one follow-up question and reiterate what he said. And when he got another one and a couple of more, maybe he lost his patience a little bit and was not expecting as much pushback given that he tried to get ahead of it. And I think that was more so of a lack of patience with the line of questioning as opposed to just avoiding what the answer is entirely. Like, look, man, I ain't got to answer these all of these damn questions. I don't owe y'all no explanation. And that's me doing an impersonation of what I feel like he might be thinking in his own head as opposed to whatever the actual reality is. Just less so wanting to be accountable to everybody else. I'm accountable to myself and my team, not the media. I can understand that perspective, even if I didn't necessarily like it and it made me feel a little bit uneasy. I did not like not getting a definitive no to that answer, even if I don't suspect that he did have any kind of procedure. My understanding of what's going on is that whatever happened with CJ is fairly recent. And so that in and of itself would tell me, like, you know, unless the recent thing was actual surgery, which I don't believe it was. And this is a new thing that's going on with CJ Stroud. So I think the answer actually was no. I wish he would have just said that.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? If that's the answer, just say it. What's the big deal about it?
Next time, just say no.
Yeah. I like that theory on DeMeco, though, of going up there with the plan and then, you know, just kind of get frustrated with the questions and whatnot. But yeah, if the answer is no, just say it.
Treat it like dope. Just say no.
That's right. We've already established Tyler remembers the Dare song.
Yeah, they taught us, those Dare folks, doing the Lord's work.
Well, now treat it like heroin.
D won't do drugs. A won't have an attitude. Or I will respect myself. E, I will educate me now.
I wish I could pretend like I actually paid attention a little bit more in that segment of education than I actually did.
Yeah, did you have the DARE program?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely do. We had DARE. I got into a little bit of trouble. So we had Scared Straight.
Oh,
you
know, wow.
I was in some of those classes where they tried to scare the hell out of you into living a good life.
Yeah.
I don't know if it exactly worked, but eventually everything worked out for me.
Did you know that song at all, the DARE song that he just sang?
I'm sure I was taught it, but no, I didn't. Just, I didn't commit it to memory. Absolutely not.
One of those weird things that is just forever lodged in my brain. Forever.
It's pretty good.
I don't remember that ever being good information, you know. It's educational.
That's right.
Learn something. We teach the kiddos. That's what the drive's all about.
Yeah. We do sports and PSAs around here.
Fair enough.
On the text line, 713 is calling a no-hitter against the Astros tonight. So that's great.
You can shut the hell up.
And also from 713, we get way too many texts that I see on the text line about the daughter of Jeff Hornacek. Anyways.
What?
It happens.
I'm not familiar with her game.
Me either, but every time I fill in on this station.
I expected you to say that.
Every time I fill in, people are texting about Jeff Hornacek's daughter. I don't know. I don't know the backstory.
I'll do some research on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, now I got to do some digging.
Yeah, well, we got some time here to do it.
What did they call that? This is, we got to do some, what is it, journalism?
Investigative?
There it is. I don't know why I was blanking on that word, man. Yep. Been a long day.
Yeah, thank goodness it's time for a commercial break. We could get to the bottom of this. Hey, when we come back, we got Tyler's best bets a little bit earlier today because, well, the Astros get underway a little bit earlier than maybe some nights. So get to those best bets next. Talk a little Astros as well.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott in for the guys today here on The Drive. And you as well, 713-572-4610 to text the show. Are the Astros building a bad reputation? We'll get to that. Plus, Tyler's best bets in just a few moments. More texts came in about the daughter of Jeff Hornacek. Someone even sent a link.
I've never seen or heard about this, and it is throwing me off.
We have done the necessary investigative work.
Oh, yes, we have.
And we can return to report that, I don't feel like you need good reason to mention her. She is worth mentioning in any context and in any setting.
That Hornacek makes me feel quite Hornacek-y. You know what I'm saying? What I mean is a little southern blood flow.
Oh, yeah. That was actually pretty good.
it was. I was not expecting that. Nicely done by you, Ty.
I appreciate y'all, man. Whenever Ron's ass is here, he tries his best to make me feel like I'm an idiot. Freaking jerk.
It was corny, but still witty enough.
There's some irony there, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. It's funny, too, because I don't think he gets I will give a crap what he says.
Pretty funny.
713 said, whoa, she's hot. About Hornacek's daughter.
Yeah, I don't feel like we need good. I don't know what the reason is and why she came up. Like, it's very random and very unexpected.
It always is.
But upon further review, I don't feel like we need a good reason for this.
No. Nope. Sex appeals there.
No, my blood is still warm. Champ. So, yeah.
Slice said, she's aight. Nothing special.
Oh, okay. All right, Champ.
Okay.
All right, well. More, I would say if she was interested, I'd say more for me.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the Office episode where they had that whole debate about whichever actress it was, if she's hot or not.
Who was it? Yes. Oh, it's so good. That's a good episode.
Yeah. We're going to have to do that with maybe during All-Star Week in Major League Baseball. There's nothing else going on. Oh, bring up the daughter of Jeff Hornacek.
But in what eyes? Like, I mean, maybe this is just not your prep. Maybe you've got a specific type and she doesn't fit it. But, like, in, I don't think she fits my type, but attractive is attractive. Like, just objectivity here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know under what context she wouldn't be, you know, a good-looking girl, you know? Even if it's not exactly your lane or your type.
Yeah, she's easy on the eyes, no matter which way you... You know what? Who said that? Who popped off about she's all right?
Champ Slice is a contrarian. Y'all know how Champ Slice likes to get down. But
silly goose.
Champ Slice, you lying if you said you kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
That's right.
I bet you wouldn't.
Speaking of which, from the 936, they ask about Olivia Dunn. Do you think she's going to be at the game tonight, Tuesday night in Pittsburgh? Paul Skeens pitching? You think we'll see Livy Dunn at the game?
I mean, is she normally at the game?
I don't know.
Because it's not like, as much as we love the Astros, all right? It's not like they're one of the, like, say, marquee brands that transcends baseball. Like, if she's a heavy baseball fan, then maybe she is like, hey, I want to watch the Astros. But if she's just Paul Skeens' girl who only likes baseball because she dates a baseball player, then I got a hard time believing that anything other than, say, like, Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, something like that.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really see her very often at the games.
Yeah.
Astros Pirates get underway in about 10 minutes. So, because of that, a little bit earlier than normal, let's get to Tyler's best bets for this evening, including that one tonight. How'd things go yesterday?
Awful.
Okay.
We're on a pretty rough red streak right now.
Bodes well for tonight, then.
It does.
You're due.
And I feel really, really good about a few of these. Not that I don't feel good about them every night, but I feel good about this. We're getting back in the green. We're getting back in the profit. We're doing this a little bit early. The best bets, as Luke just laid out there, because, well, first pitch is coming up here soon for the Astros. And three of my six best bets tonight are within that Astros game up in Pittsburgh. So first off, I got two unders for you. I got Cubs at Nationals under 5 runs in the first 5 innings this evening. Got those odds at plus 100. If you can get that, lock that in. Royals at Cardinals. Ron's crap-ass Royals under 9 in that game tonight between the Royals and Cardinals. Those are your two unders. Next, I'm on a money line. Atlanta, the Braves, they are hosting the D-backs tonight. I'm on minus 145 for them if you can get it there, or even minus 150. I like it. Now, real quick, here are your three Astros bets. And again, if you ever miss any of these as we discuss them quickly, you can go to my Twitter, at team ill real deal. I got that little blue check mark, unlike we're on the show, Hughley. It's easy to find. First, in this Astros game against the Pittsburgh Pirates with McCullers on the bump versus Skeens, Astros plus one run. I got it, even money. Game one at the Pirates tonight. You can throw in that plus 1.5 with the hook if you want a little worse odds. Next, I got the Stros. This has been a bugaboo this year, man. I am riding large money tonight. I'm actually a little nervous. Large money tonight on the Astros team total over 3.5 runs against Skeens and the Pirates. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Take that for what it is. Maybe that's the one you don't follow out there. And then lastly, one player prop for these Stros tonight against the Pirates as they get going here in the next 8 minutes. Jeremy Pena, the shortstop. We have won a lot of green money on this bet this year, and they just keep giving it to us. Pena over 1.5 total bases tonight, and I got those odds at a whopping plus 160.
Hey, not to throw us off, I got a betting question on total bases because we were confused about this. My girl made a bet. I think she had a Mets bet last night on total bases for Pete Alonso, and then he got hit by a pitch.
Doesn't count. Yeah, okay. same as a walk.
Yeah, I don't like that. But I wasn't sure, honestly.
So
that's a very normal question for that bet because you have guys like Jordan who, when he's healthy and hitting well, he's just getting free passes left and right, and they're like, all right, well, that's two walks.
I mean, because you do take a base.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
So like,
that I don't count.
I'm confused by that.
Yeah, I don't like it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, it's a base. It should be part of the total base, but yeah, it's only on hits. I don't like it.
They should say that. Maybe be clearer, folks. Betting community, know your baseball terminology, guys. Come on.
But those are your six best bets for baseball tonight on a Tuesday. And by the way, the final result yesterday was 1-for-5, so we're off to a 20% rough ass start.
Was your one the Pena bet? Or what did you bet? Pinky?
I didn't bet. Okay. No, the Astros were off.
That's right. That makes sense.
I can't remember
that
the one.
That would have been a horrible bet.
It's not even worth Brewers.
Yeah.
But any of those six, you two fellas, Luke, B. Scott, any of those y'all really attracted to, think they're locks, or any you think are just terrible, awful bets?
I'm with you on the Braves. I can't bring myself with the Astro plays. I don't know if they get four runs tonight facing Skeens. I don't know. Plus one. Jeremy Pena, let's hope for like a leadoff double and you cash right away. But I don't know. I don't know where you are, Brandon, on the Astros tonight, but I don't think I can bet against Skeens.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't feel confident, honestly, about any of them. And I hate to say that to you, Tyler, because I know you're, you know, it's been a rough little stretch here. Now, the Pena one, the only, that's going to be an interesting one, though, right? Because Skeens, we know. And of course, Pena has been excellent as of late.
So I've hit this very bet multiple times this season.
Well, it's strength against strength. Yeah. So something that absolutely has got to give there. That would be the one I wouldn't say I feel most confident in, but I am most intrigued by. The whole something's got to give element to it.
So y'all just crapped all over my best bets. That's fine. You know what? Scared money don't make money.
Hey, it's your bet, man.
Scared money don't make money. Drive family all together now. Scared money don't make money.
Scared money don't make money, and I'm rooting for Tyler Milner's pockets.
Okay, thank you. I'm definitely rooting for you, man.
I just got to be real with you. T-Mill, real deal. You take on that mantra, man. It's the real.
Wouldn't want y'all to be anything less.
I'm a little nervous about them bets, man.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Find them on his Twitter if you missed them, or use the rewind function. Let's play along and hopefully all make some money off of those best bets for tonight. Astros and the Pirates, they get underway in about 5 minutes here against Skeens up in Pittsburgh. And so obviously since they're on the road, they'll come to the plate first against Skeens. We'll see how they get going. When we come back, let's talk a little Astros. I think the Astros are getting into an interesting place here with their roster. Also, are they building a bad reputation around the league? We'll talk about that next. It's The Drive.
Don't mess with the Houston Astros.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott in for the fellas today here on The Drive as we put a bow on things for this Tuesday. Clint will be back and we'll be in with B. Scott for the next 2 days. Coming up at the top of the hour here when we're done is Texans All Access. And then following after that, you get Area 45, of course, from 7 to 11 with the guys' best late night sports talk show in Houston.
I do want to say before we get into it, not to get too mushy and lovey-dovey. Luke, you and I have never worked together.
No.
This has been a treat. Oh, this has been a pleasure, man. I wasn't nervous about it or anything, But, you know, we've never done this, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it, man. This has been every bit of worth it. So, like, kudos to you, and shout out to the listeners as well, man. I have enjoyed myself over the course of this 4 hours for sure.
Well, awesome. Happy to hear. That's most important. And likewise, I echo that. It's been great to work with you, and always great to work with Tyler behind the glass as well here, and everyone that's part of the drive, and of course all the listeners. We always try to be as engaging with the text line and YouTube and all that stuff as much as possible. You can text the show 713-572-4610. Just to put the finishing touches, I love this text from the 713. I've texted about Abby Hornacek every time basketball, jazz, coaching, or anything related comes up. How anyone says all right, they don't understand. All right, so there you go. Always get the Hornacek for whatever reason. I never have mentioned anything about Jeff Hornacek, but every time I'm sitting in, someone's texting about Hornacek's daughter. The Astros are getting underway here just about now with the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Before we go, a couple thoughts I had about these Houston Astros. We'll see how they do against Paul Skenes tonight. Most importantly, we'll see how Lance McCullers does on the other side against a bottom three Pirates offense statistically. But earlier this hour, we were discussing, you know, the injury report that was put out by the Astros about Zach DiCenzo, a left-hand injury. But they announced that they're going to do re-imaging in 2 weeks. And we said, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also kind of serious, that, yeah, it seems like this is an adjustment to everything that has transpired recently with Yordan Alvarez and the reputation this team has built here with how they've handled injuries in recent years. And it got me thinking. We talked about this at the time a couple weeks ago. I don't remember who I was in with. I think it might have been John Lopez on In the Loop. But Alex Bregman had that. He did that interview with ESPN, and he said, you know, the Red Sox found some things with my swing. You know, they asked him, how'd you get off to such a great start? He was an MVP favorite. Bregman was having a great year, career best start to the season. And he acknowledged that the Red Sox noticed some things that they thought he should have improved on, and he thought that's what led to the improvement. And so, you know, he thought some people, well, that doesn't reflect so well on Alex Cintron. And then we also talked about, you know, like Kyle Tucker not wanting to pay him, so they trade him away. And Alex Bregman goes and gets his money elsewhere. And this thought about, are they getting a reputation in the league amongst other players of being like a place that, if you go to Houston, they're not going to pay their stars. And then, moving away from that, but similar idea, we get this whole thing with Yordan, and people that follow the Astros know about this reputation they're building amongst the Astros fan base of how they handle injuries. So all this preambles to say, do you think that there's any fallout with the players in the league that they see this Yordan story, maybe Kyle Tucker last year, and they think, I don't know if I'd want to play in Houston. I don't know if they have the players' best interest in mind, or if they would handle my injury as well as some other teams.
Yeah, you know, it's a fair question, and I'm not exactly sure what the answer is, but I do think, like, you're using the term reputation. Another word that I would use, and this is just me parroting Chandler Rome at The Athletic, because this is what he wrote after the Yordan news that we got over the weekend, and that's that they got a perception problem, you know. So, and we're kind of talking about the same thing, basically, just using a different term. But so the reputation, I'm not exactly sure, because that would require a little bit more insight around the league that I don't necessarily have. But I do think it speaks to the perception issue, you know, and that's all of it. Everything you mentioned, and the one thing that you didn't mention that we can just throw in there, is what I think is more of a luck issue, the unluckiness that they've had with the pitching, with pitchers' elbows and all of the Tommy John and guys falling, basically dropping like flies, you know, among the rotation, just their pitching staff in general. And it just seems like that's something that you can just rely on. Unfortunately, no matter what team you root for, if you follow baseball, you can rely on this. Somebody is going to have Tommy John, either for your team or somewhere that you follow, your division, somewhere that you follow closely. Somebody's going to go down with Tommy John. You can rest assured. It is just odd that the Astros seem to have it not just more frequent, but they get those back-to-backs. Like, they're shotgunning Tommy John. You know, it's just weird and odd. So, like, I was talking about this with some of the assembled media today at Texans OTAs, and, you know, just kind of got into a off conversation about the Astros, some of the guys that cover the Astros as well. And it's like, man, these are separate issues, but the Venn diagram, where the Venn diagram overlaps, is the people that consume it and the people that care about it. And look, the issue with the elbows is his own issue, and the issues with the imaging and the not being able to see past the inflammation or take another imaging after the inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems like more of a competency problem, but it still all brings you to the same place of having a perception issue with these Astros, or perceiving them to either be unlucky, bad, or both when it comes to managing pain, health, and injury. So I think they definitely, if not a reputation problem, I think what Chandler Rome wrote in The Athletic over the weekend is certainly accurate. There is a perception problem with the Astros right now.
By the way, Astros just went 1-2-3 in the top of the first against Skeen. So we're waiting on that Jeremy Pena 2+ bases tonight.
He'll drop some panties.
Could have used an extra base hit to start the game. Didn't happen.
I think you got another 2 or 3 whacks at it.
That's right. If you missed the best bets, you can find them on Twitter. Use the rewind function for the other games that haven't started yet. But Tyler's on the Astros +1 tonight. Team total over 3.5. Pena over 1.5 bases. So we'll see how that goes. But 1-2-3 in the top of the first for the Astros. The other thing I was thinking about for the Astros is I feel like they're getting into this interesting spot with their roster where they just called up a couple more of their prospects over the weekend, you know, most notably Jacob Melton. And so now when you look at it, if you go back to their prospect rankings before the start of the season, Cam Smith was, of course, number one. He made the big league roster. He's been in the big leagues all year. Jacob Melton was the number two prospect. He now just made the big leagues for the first time. Zach DiCenzo is the number four prospect. He's been in the big leagues the whole season. And then you could even throw in A.J. Blueball as the sixth prospect who, you know, had a cup of coffee there in the big leagues this year. But the other one I wanted to mention was the other guy they just called up, Shea Whitcomb, 4A Shea, who is the number 13 prospect for the Astros. And so the point I'm making is, you know, I read the Chandler Rome piece about Jacob Melton's just going to kind of come off the bat. I don't feel like you bring up the number two prospect for the first time just to be that bench guy, pinch hit, fill in occasionally, and then when someone's healthy, send them back down. It's fine. I don't think that's the best development. If you're going to bring up a guy of that level that you're as your number two prospect, it should be someone who's ready to play, get consistent at-bats, and really should be there to stay. It's like the same conversation we were having with Cam Smith, that if you put him on the opening day roster, you can't send him back to the minors if he gets off to a bad first month. Right? These guys should be up to stay. And so my point being, now you have four of the top 13 prospects on the big league roster. Granted, one is injured right now. But we're almost in this transition of you're getting all these young guys coming up, and I wonder what that means for some of the other pieces of the roster. You're not going to get rid of Altuve, of course. You never would. But, like, do you move him to second so Melton can play the outfield and you just move on from Dubon? Or, you know, you shuffle some of these pieces. Are we seeing some sort of transition here to this new era for the Astros, to some of the younger guys that are going to push some other guys out of the door here during the season, not, you know, during an offseason?
Yeah, this is interesting because you make a more holistic point, I feel like, about the Astros, talking about their prospects and how they're managing them or bringing them up and sending them down for that matter. But, like, I look at, let's just take Jacob Melton as the antidote, as an example. That seemed to be much more of a short-term play than a long-term play.
Yeah.
And I think it had a lot to do with, if desperation is too strong of a word, I'm looking for something real close to that, because we all know that the lineup is too right-handed heavy.
Yeah.
And that's been part of the issue, of course, especially with Yordan being out, especially with Kyle Tucker being jettisoned to Chicago. So now you don't have not only just two of your best bats, but two left-handed bats, you know? So Jacob Melton was, I think, brought in to, in large part, to help balance things out a little bit. Is the short-term play of that worth whatever long-term risk that you're kind of alluding to with maybe not properly developing your guys or not giving them enough runway to develop? Yeah, no, I think those things do kind of conflict, but this is what happens when you have to manage short-term expectations and aspirations with the long-term viability of your ball club, right? Like you have to find some kind of meeting in the middle. You have to have a meeting of the minds of, hey, what is the urgency for the team that we have right now and the goal and task that we have in front of us right this second versus what our future looks like. And that's a delicate balance. One that I do, honestly, again, not to cop out, but that I do sympathize with, you know, like trying to figure exactly what does that look like. And the Astros, as we know, have notoriously been at least pegged for having a weak farm system. Now, we see that they're able to just invent pitching. So, you know, like for whatever it's worth, they say they got a weak farm system. And then you look up and then here's some pitcher from, you know, some random place, or, you know, some Latin country or like whatever it is. You got you just invented a pitcher, you know, see Framber Valdez, you know, see Ronel Blanco, who emerges as a starter when he's damn near 30 years old. You know, like they've been able to kind of figure this part out. But I do wonder the same thing that you do and question the sort of long term plan and what does it all really mean for them long term and how they're managing these prospects for sure.
Yeah, because it does feel short term, specifically with Jacob Melvin, but I don't like that idea. I don't think you bring up, and I know he's only forecasted to be like kind of a platoon player, which doesn't bode well if he's your number two prospect.
Right.
And you said the farm system is not very good. We know that. But I don't like the idea of you bring him up for the first time and it's like, it's just going to be for a week or two. You'll get the occasional at bat you fill in, and then you go back to the minors. You know, when you bring up your number two prospect, it's supposed to be more. Maybe this is more of an indictment on the farm system, I guess, than anything. But just when you bring up all these young guys, I would imagine they should have some sort of staying power.
I would say, though, to this point, this is supposed to be Dana Brown's thing, right? Like, he is scouting general, like he's the general manager with the scouting background, the scouting eye. Like, if there's anybody that's going to be charged with making sure that the prospects are managed properly, it should be the guy that they've hired to be their general manager, the guy with the scouting background. So
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
I would like to think that he's uniquely positioned for this moment, but we shall see.
We shall. Give us four runs tonight against Skeens. Let's cash everyone's ticket.
For the love of God.
B. Scott, it was a pleasure working alongside you.
Man, I enjoyed it. I really did.
Me too. It's always great having Tyler on the other side of the glass holding things down, doing a great job around here.
Had fun, boys. Appreciate you, dudes.
Pleasure was all ours. Texans All Access coming up at the top of the hour. Jalen Petrie joins right off the jump at 6 p.m. And then stay tuned for Area 45 after that. For Tyler Milner, Brandon Scott, I'm Luke Morrow. Life's just a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. It's been The Drive. Now, the fellas are not here. Luke Morrow sitting in alongside Brandon Scott, but we'll still hold it down here for Dirty's Daily anyways. Clint will be back tomorrow. He'll be in the rest of the week. B. Scott, you'll be here with him the next couple of days.
We'll see.
Put a pin in that.
Yeah. But you're right. You're right. That is the plan.
Just like overly sensitive about sweat on machines? Nah, man. That's what we're in there for. We're in there to get a sweat. I appreciate any human being that's putting that extra work in, getting that sweat in. I'm coming in there to get that work in. Finish it. Go hard. Right? Clean stuff up later.